little children, it is the last hour. By which we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would not have continued with us. They would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest, that none of them were of us. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is an antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. Therefore, let that abide in you which you have heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he promised us, eternal life. These things I have written to you concerning those who try to deceive you. But the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need anyone to teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, and is true, and is not a lie, and is just, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of him. Let's pray. Father, I pray today that you would speak to our hearts through your word this morning, that you would enlighten us, and that you would strengthen us in your spirit, by your spirit, in our inner man, that we may know how to deal with deception, that we may cling to the truth of your word, and that we may experience the fullness of a relationship with you because of it. Thank you, Lord, for all you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, in this passage before us, we see John address a very serious situation that had arisen in the church at Asia Minor. People had departed from the church because they claimed to receive special revelation from God that Jesus was not the Messiah. Now, as you can imagine, this caused the true believers in the church to question how these defectors could be so deceived, and more importantly, how they could be sure that they would not be deceived. Now, John begins his answer to these questions by revealing three truths about these defectors. First, they were a sign of the times. Notice the phrase, the last hour. That phrase, the last hour, in verse 18. It is the last hour. So what is John saying? He's saying this does not refer to a literal last hour, obviously. It refers to this time period before the second coming of Jesus Christ. So during this period, what John is saying is we should expect that there will be people to rise up and attack the faith. We should expect that there are going to be people during this time period before Jesus comes back that are going to rise up and are going to attack our faith. They're going to attack the Bible and all of its teachings. They're going to attack the sound doctrines that we find in the Bible and attack the truths that we hold dear to us in Christianity. We should not be surprised. So during this time period, we should expect that. We must realize the spiritual battle has started and will continue until the second coming of Jesus Christ. Secondly, these antichrists were part of God's plan. Notice the phrase, you have heard. So these people had been told about people like this before. They understood that these kind of folks were going to rise up, these antichrists. We know there is going to be one big antichrist that comes during the tribulation period and the end of the age, and he will be revealed at a certain time. There's these antichrists, little antichrists, people that are going to go against the fact that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. And we should understand that this is part of God's plan. I'm sure the church in Asia Minor had been told about the parable that Jesus talked about, the wheat and the tares. Do you remember that parable? Let's turn to Matthew chapter 13, verse 24. Matthew chapter 13, in verse 24. Jesus tells us a parable about the wheat and the tares. 13:24 in Matthew it says, "And another parable he put forth to them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the grain had sprouted and produced a crop, then the tares also appeared. So the servants of the owner came and said to him, Sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares? He said to them, An enemy has done this. The servants said to him, Do you want us then to go and gather them up? But he said, No, lest while you gather up the tares you also uproot, while you gather up the tares, you will also uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And at the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, First gather together the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn." So, God, in his providence, has allowed these tares to be in our midst to fulfill his ultimate purpose of bringing us to maturity and gathering us at his coming. So we should understand that this is part of God's plan, so we don't need to be rattled when it happens, and we need to understand that God is going to be with us because this is part of his plan. Now, thirdly, John points out that these defectors were not genuine believers. If we turn back to 1 John, we'll see in verse 19 of chapter 2, it says, "They went out from us, but they were not of us." They were not of us. Now, this is important. We understand. And it goes on to say, if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. So, the big reason these people fell so easily into false doctrine was that they were not genuine believers. Now, this should give us some assurance. This should give us some comfort. To those who are trusting in Christ, God has given us all that we need to deal with deception. If you're trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, He will give you all you need to deal with deception. As a matter of fact, I think the main purpose of this passage of God's Word is to help us know how to deal with deception. So, I'd like us to take a look at this passage and see how we can deal with deception. First of all, I want us to know we can deal with deception by sticking with the revealed Word of God. Look at verse 20 for a minute. Look at verse 20. It says, "But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things." Now, Go down to verse 26. It says, "These things I have written to you concerning those who try to deceive you." Look at verse 21. "I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth." Now, notice the phrases, "and you know all things," in verse 20. And in verse 24, it says, "Let that which is abide in you, which you heard from the beginning." Okay? These two phrases are John trying to communicate to us, or trying to convey to the church, that what they have heard about Jesus Christ from the apostles is all they need to experience the fullness of Christ. There is no new revelation necessary. That's what I want us to see. I want us to understand that what we have in the 66 books of the Bible are all we need to know about the truth about God, the truth about our relationship with Him. And any new revelation that contradicts what has already been revealed to us in the Bible needs to be rejected. Okay? That's what we need to understand. That is what John is saying. He says, "You don't need me to tell you anything more about what the Scriptures say, about what we've told you about Jesus Christ. You know all you need to know about it. We've told you all you need to know about it." And we need to see that. We need to see that what we have here in the Bible is all that we need. And we need to rely on it and stick to the Bible for our source of truth. We need to stick to the Bible for what we are, what we need to know about our relationship with Him. As we abide, it is only as we abide in God's Word that we will experience the promise of eternal life. We must believe what God's Word says about Jesus and reject any teaching that is contrary to it. Now understand that. That's what we're told. If we abide in the truth that has been revealed to us, then we have the promise of eternal life. If we abide in the truth that we've been told from the Bible about Jesus dying on the cross for our sins, providing a way so that we can have our sins forgiven through the blood of Jesus Christ, providing a way so that we can have eternal life by showing us that He has the power to give us eternal life through His resurrection. If we believe that, what we have been told in the Bible, then we have the promise of eternal life. But any doctrine, any teaching that takes away from what Jesus has done for us in our salvation, and takes away from what He did when He died on the cross and when He rose again, anything that says He didn't rise again, anything that says He didn't come in the flesh, anything that says His work on the cross was not sufficient for our salvation, must be rejected and put aside, because it is in that doctrine that we have the promise of eternal life. It must be abiding in us, or else we have no confidence of salvation. Understand that. And anything that attacks the person of Jesus Christ and His work, anything that takes away from Jesus being the sole source of our salvation, is heresy and must be put away. Any teaching that takes away the divinity of Jesus Christ is heresy and must be put away. Any teaching that denies the complete work He accomplished as a man in the flesh is heresy and must be put away. So, Let's stick to what the Bible says about Jesus and our relationship with God. We need no more information to experience a fulfilling relationship with Him. That is what I want us to understand. We must first and foremost cling to the revealed Word of God in order to deal with deception. Now, secondly, we can deal with deception by relying on Jesus to guide us by His Spirit. I want you to notice, John assures the believers that because of the anointing of the Holy Spirit, the Holy One, upon them, they can avoid being deceived by false doctrine. Understand that. God gives us the Holy Spirit to teach us and to help us avoid false doctrine. Not only does He give us His Word, but He speaks to us and confirms the truth as we study His Word through His Spirit. Contrary to the false teachers' claims that they have special revelation from God, John points out that it is the true believer who possesses the anointing from God to know the truth. Understand that. You, as a believer in Jesus Christ, have the Holy Spirit dwelling in you and speaking to you to confirm the truth about Him, to confirm the truths of the Word of God. Now, I want you to understand something about this. I want you to notice the main ability for knowing the truth falls on you, the believer. Now, I want to make sure, as your pastor, that I supply you with all the knowledge that I can to help you know the truth of the Word. I want to give you tools to help you understand the Word. That's why we have classes for you to understand the Word. But understand something. The main ability of you being able to understand the truth lies within you, the believer. You can understand the Bible. You can understand it because you're trusting in His Holy Spirit to help you. Now, there may be some things that even with the Spirit's help, you need a little bit of help with, a little bit of direction. That's fine. I do that all the time. When I'm reading the Bible and I don't quite understand something in it, I go to my commentaries. And I read a commentary and try and figure out what the passage is saying. But here's what happens when I do that, though. Regardless of what commentary I'm reading, if I am studying it and I see that, yes, this commentator is correct, then God confirms that by His Spirit in me. Okay? He confirms what I'm reading or what I'm studying is true about that passage of Scripture. Sometimes two commentators can have a little bit different opinion on a passage of Scripture. So what do? I ask the Lord to help me understand it. What is the real meaning? And sometimes it's just a matter of semantics. One saying it just a little bit different than the other. And then I ask the Lord to help me come to a conclusion about that passage. But that's what God wants each and every one of you to be able to do. Is study His Word, ask Him to help you figure it out, and letting Him help you figure it out. That's why you have the Holy Spirit dwelling in you, so that He can help you figure out His Word. But you've got to study the truth in order to know the truth. So, if you're trusting in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, He will guide you in the truth as you follow the leading of His Spirit and study His revealed Word. So, ask the Lord to guide you by His Spirit in the truth. Ask Him to reveal any false doctrines that contradict His Word. And notice the word confidence in verse 28. The word confidence in verse 28. Trust the Lord to answer your requests. Understand, God's going to give you all the ability you need to have confidence that you know the truth. Okay? You can know the truth. This is what it means to abide in Him. You're asking Him to help you know the truth. You're trusting in Him to confirm the truth in your heart. And you are confident that He's going to do that. So that's what trust in the Lord is. That's what abiding in Him is all about. About 25 years ago, I was a young Christian. I'd just been called to preach. And I was still trying to figure out doctrine and figure out all this stuff. And there was a famous preacher at that time that was promoting faith in the Lord without repentance. And by repentance, I mean a changing of one's view about sin and the need to turn from it. So this famous preacher was saying, you know, you don't have to change your view of sin and have this attitude that you want to turn from sin in order to have this faith experience with the Lord Jesus. Now, this was causing a lot of problems in many good churches around the country at that time. And I really wanted to know the truth. Did we need to have repentance as part of our faith experience with the Lord in salvation, or did we not? So I asked the Lord to show me. I asked Him to show me His truth about repentance. And after studying the Bible, He confirmed by His Spirit and by the Word that the salvation experience involves repentance. It involves repentance. That faith in Christ is a faith that includes an attitude of repentance. And we need to understand that. So I say that just to give you a personal experience that I had, that God had to confirm in my heart His truth about my salvation. And He'll do that for you as well. If you see some doctrine or belief that you're not quite sure about, by all means, understand that God will help you understand it and clarify it. Now, some things are very difficult to understand that have to do with God's sovereignty and our free will. And, you know, I understand those things. Some things we can't answer in our finite mind. Some things, you know, we just can't have all the answers to. You know, we can think of a system of theology that tries to answer all the questions about our relationship with God, how an infinite God can deal with a finite man. But we really can't know for sure all of it, all the aspects of it. So what do? We trust the Lord with that as well. But what I'm talking about here is the clear truths about Jesus Christ and what He's done for us, okay? And that's what John is addressing in this. Jesus wants you to have confidence, not doubt, about our relationship with Him. Now, once you have confidence in the truth, once you have confidence in the truth about Jesus and your relationship with Him, the Holy Spirit will also help you to stand for the truth. Now, this leads to my final point about dealing with deception. You can deal with deception by preparing yourself to confront it. We have to confront deception. It was necessary. It's necessary at times. And it was necessary at this time for John to confront this deception that was going on in Asia Minor. Now, we may have to confront false doctrine in someone close to us in the church. Understand, these were people that were in the church. Now, being a churchgoer does not mean you are a true believer. Understand that. Being a churchgoer, you may be faithful to come to church every Sunday, but that does not mean that you're a true believer. Now, I say that saying this as well. Being faithful to a group of believers is a sign that your faith is genuine, but it is not a guarantee. Okay? And that's what we're told in this passage of Scripture. So, so there must be a mindset of openness and integrity established in our church so that we can help one another abide in the truth. Okay? And that's what I want us to understand. I want you to be able to come in here and feel like you can ask a question about truth and be able to get an answer with integrity and in a peaceful way. Okay, so that's something I want us to understand. We must confront these false doctrines. So there must be this openness, though. Now, this mindset comes as we understand that doctrine does matter. What we believe does matter, especially what we believe about Jesus Christ and our salvation. And that's what's being dealt with here, okay? It does matter, and so we should be willing to be open and honest and talk about it, okay? It's you cannot just say, it doesn't matter what you believe, so long as you're sincere, and God will let you go to heaven. That's not true. That's not true. It does matter what we believe. It does matter. So doctrine does matter. And so because of that, we should be willing to talk about it and confront those doctrines that hinder us in our walk with the Lord. Secondly, this mindset comes as we confront error in the right way. Now, I want you to understand, conflict is sometimes necessary. But it can be done in a peaceful manner. And that's what we want to do. Notice John does not deal with the situation through rumor or innuendo. He goes directly to the source in an open way and deals with the situation. Okay? That's what we need to do. Not trying to be conniving about it. Not trying to attack people's character by it. Not trying to spread rumors or cause division, but really trying to address the issue, make sure we let people know the truth, and help them in this. Okay? And if they refuse to help, of course, then we, tell them, you may want to find someplace else because you're not going to be happy in a Christian church. You don't believe Christianity, so you might need to go someplace else. And because this is what we're going to teach. Notice John does not deal with the situation through rumor or innuendo. And thirdly, don't provoke controversy over insignificant doctrinal details. Now, understand, John confronts a serious doctrinal error here. Not the, me and my preacher buddies, we discuss little things like, is God's grace resistible or irresistible? Are we a dichotomy or trichotomy? I mean, all kinds of things like that, okay? Those are small doctrinal differences, okay? We all believe that it's through faith and faith alone in Jesus Christ that gives us eternal life. Okay? If that's the case, and we don't attack the person or work of Jesus Christ, then we can disagree on some of these small issues and still be unified. And that's what we need to understand. Okay? This was not something that John was willing to cause controversy over, some little thing. He was addressing a big doctrinal issue. Okay? So Christians do have different views on some teachings of Scripture that don't affect the core doctrines of our faith. So we should be able to discuss those differences without division or controversy. So Prepare your mind to deal with deception by understanding that doctrine matters, but it must be confronted in the right way and for the right reasons. Okay? Now, you can have confidence that you are being guided by the truth and abide in Jesus as you rely on the Holy Spirit to teach you through the revealed Word of God. However, you do need to question the authenticity of your relationship with God if you continue to accept teachings that are contrary to the Bible and go against 2,000 years of Orthodox Christianity. Understand that.